It's just supposed to have the Rashiva come and give his time for us to a lot of questions being Yanei Hashah, things that are relevant to our daily lives, in their daily lives with our families and our Avodas Hashem, and things that are going on in the world that we want a proper Torah to get a perspective on. And before I start with the first question, I just want to thank the Rosh Hashiva for coming and giving his time to give us a little bit of a perspective. I'll go right away and ask the questions, and the Rosh Hashiva will answer in Hebrew, and for those who don't know Hebrew, I'll translate each answer. So the first question we have is, the three main components of our life is family and our Torah, learning. We try to all learn every day. We all do learn every day. And of course, work. We have parnasa. So between those three major, obviously there's all kinds of little things, but those are the three main things of our lives. What's the proper balance between those three?
קודם כל אני מאוד מעריך ומתפעל איך שאתם הולכים מחיל אל חיל, משיעור לשיעור, אשריכם אשריכם. בקשר לשאלה, זה מתחלק לשלושה חלקים. יש את הפרנסה, שזה החלק הגשמי, החי הגשמיס. יש את המשפחה, שזה החלק של הנפש, אולי גם של הרוח והחינוך. ויש את התורה, שזה החלק הרוחני, שזה התכלס, ושזה הגענו לעולם, ושזה מביא אותנו לחיי עולם הבא. החלק של הפרנסה, זה עניין של הכרח. כל אחד צריך לעשות משהו מוכרח, אבל זה צריך להיות מלאכת הארעי ותורות סקווה. זה לא צריך לתפוס מקום, לא בחיי המשפחה ולא בחיי הרוח. לעשות את זה מתוך הכרח, לא צריך הרבה להתעסק עם זה, ודאי לא להעריך את זה. עיקר העיסוק צריך להיות בחיי הרוח, חיי נצח, בערכים, לדעת שיש תכלס, שיש נצח לחיים. אבל ודאי צריך לשים דגש על קיר במשפחה, על שולם בית, להעריך את הבנים, כי עיקר שמצווה שאתה מותר זה שיננתם לבניך, וכל מה שיש זמן מיוחד, בנוי, שאדם לא עוסק לא בעצמו בתורה ולא בעסק הפרנסה, אז ראוי שישקיע גם בחינוך הבנים.
The parnasa is chai maisa, chai gashmias. It's part of our materialistic life that we have to do, and everyone has their job and is isik in the parnasa. Whereas family is part of a person's nefesh, maybe even ruach, his ruchnias. And for sure, his limud haTorah is his chai ruchnias, his spiritual life. And therefore, you have to put it in a very clear hierarchy. Parnasa is something you do, and it's a part of your life, but it's not the most important part. It's asei teres chakva malach charai is a real thing. It's something that it's really a less significant part. It definitely should never interfere with the other two, which are much more important. It's something that you do and you have to do and get along with it. Then you have your ruchnistic life, your learning. And you're growing and learning, which is the most important part of your life. And that should also never come on the cheshbon of your family. You have shalom bayis, you have your kids, but the two are kind of connected. The Rishi was emphasizing that v'shinanta levanecha, so your family life is connected to your entire life. It's not only your own learning, but you're bringing the ruchnias home. You're bringing the ruchnias to your family and spending time with them and learning with them and bringing a ruchniastic atmosphere to the home as well. The next question we'll move on to is on the same topic. We said before, teaching your children. So specifically regarding female children, our girls, is the Rosh Yeshiva can advise about learning with our girls? What type of Torah or chinuch are we supposed to give over as a personal interaction with our daughters?
אדם חייב ללמוד עם בניו, עם בנותיו, יותר כפי כמה שהם יכולים להבין. בוודאי בסקול הם לומדים נובי או חומש, וצריך לעזור להם בשיעורי בית, כמה שהם צריכים בבית. אבל עיקר החינוך זה הדוגמה האישית, שיפנימו כל הנהגה וכל תנועה, שהכל נעשה כרצון השם, לנצל את הזמן ללמוד את הרעיונות של מוצר, רעיונות נחמדים, וגם לקבוע מדי פעם איזשהו זמן להלוכה, אם זה שבס או יותר מזה. מה שחשוב זה להשכיב את הילדים כל יום עם סיפור צדיקים או ספר מוצר קל שערבים לאוזן.
So the Rashiv advises that since we're supposed to teach our children Torah, and that includes sons and daughters, they learn in school. They learn presumably any Torah subjects they need to do, they get in school. So if they need homework, if they need help with their homework, then the father or the mother should sit down and help them with that. They should be there for them and guide them in that. But the main thing of parenting is in teaching is not teaching a subject, the content of an actual sefer or something. It's being a role model. Being a role model in every aspect of life. In Ruchnius and in Midas and in everything else, the parent should be a role model, a dugma for his kids, and that does more than anything else. But beyond that, there is always what to give over to the kids. It's always nice to learn some sort of sefer, maybe a sefer Musar with your daughters, or to learn a halacha with them, maybe Shabbos afternoon, to learn certain halachas that are relevant to their lives. And definitely with the younger kids by bedtime, to be there by bedtime, and to be with them, tell them Sipuri Tzadikim, stories of Tzadikim, tell them ideas of Musar, share with them. There's always opportunities to be able to share Musar ideas, share Ruchnistic ideas, and Torah ideas with our children on a constant basis. The next question is, more relevant to a public. The past year has been a very challenging year for everyone, and what many people have done, many of us have done in the crowd, is we've been very supportive of the Israeli soldiers. We've done all kinds of things for them. There have been all kinds of fundraisers for things they need, and many people have donated and supported. Many people have visited and shown all kinds of sending them things they need and all kinds of donations for various different needs. And that's something that's been part of who we were the past year, and our families know about, our kids know about it. And now all of a sudden there's something new on the agenda. Everyone's talking about that. That's in the news, and that is the threat of drafting yeshiva talmidim, bnei yeshivas. Which that we understand to be a big sakana. It's a terrible thing, it's a terrible gzeira, it's a terrible threat of ruchnias, and it's something that can never happen. So it's kind of like, what do we do now? How do we explain that to our kids, that their drafting of yeshiva talmidim is something that's a tremendous threat in ruchnias, and it's a gzeira that we have to make sure doesn't happen, and daven that doesn't happen. But on the other hand, we've been supporting the army the past year. So how do we deal with that inherent contradiction, if it is?
השאלה מבוססת על הנחה שתמכנו הרבה בחיילים. ודאי שרגש של יהודי זה לתת ולרחם, זה דבר טוב, ואי אפשר להתווכח עם רגש. והחזון איש כתב שבכל תנועה אני נוהג להתייעץ עם דלת חלקי שולחן ערוך. יש הרבה תערובת של טוב ורע בעולם. צריך לדעת להשליט את השכל על הרגש. צריך כל דבר להתייעץ עם הדסטר. מכל הטענות של החילונים שיש אמהות שלא ישנות בלילה ויש חיילים פצועים והרוגים וכולו וכולו, זה הכל טענות של רגש. אבל אם יבוא אליי אחד ויגיד לי כאלו טענות, אני אגיד לו, זה נושא מאוד חשוב, תיקח את הטלפון שלי, אני רוצה לשבת איתך. הוא לא יחזור אליי. דיברנו שנה שעברה שכל העניינים של דאס תורה, בפרט בעניין הצדוקה, יש לתורה מה לומר בעניינים. זה דברים שלא עושים על פי רגש, על פי אינסטינקט, ודאי לא של דאס בלבטן. יש לתורה מה לומר בנושאים האלו, וצריך להתייעץ עם כל דבר, בפרט בדברים של גוף התורה. צריך לדעת איפה לתת את הכסף, יש כמה דיני צדוקה, כמה דיני קדימה. הרגע שבא לבית לפעמים זה להפוך את הרוידף לנרדף, את החוכם לא ילך בוטל. לכן חשוב מאוד לדעת כל דבר לעשות על פי דאסטירה, ולא סתם על פי אינסטינקט. צריך להתפלל על זה שהכסף שלנו ילך לאנשים אגונים, וכפי שהלוחם מחייבת. מה שהצדוקה הכי טובה, כמובן, זה לתת לתלמוד חוכם מתן בסייסר, בפרט עם הקורב שלו, בפרט עם הציבור גדול. זה הצדוקה הכי טובה שיש. לכן כל הנושא הזה של לתת לחיילים, זה דבר שצריך להתייעץ עם רב מובהק, אם לעשות את זה ואיך לעשות ומה להגיד לילדים. אבל מבחינת ההשקופה צריך לדעת שהנושא הזה של גיוס בני הצירה, זה מוסכם אצל כל גדול ישראל שזה איסור חומר מאוד. גיוס בונס, החזוני שבזכרוב, כולם יצאו שזה ביורג בעל יבר, ולחור קורב הדובר גם בגיוס בני הישיבס, כי לא ימולת שמי שמתגייס הוא לא יאבד את חיי הרוח שלו. זה ממש עניין שגזירת שמד, זה אני יודע בוודאות מאנשים ששרתו בצבא, זה פושט יורג ועל יבור, זה לא שייך להישאר שם חרדי שם עצר ומצווס. ובכלל אנחנו מוזרים שלא להתגרות באומס, ויש בהתגרות הזאת, בכבוד הלאומי, הרבה הרבה אבק של שפיכת דמים. וכל העניין הזה של הצבא, זה שאלות נוראות של סנהדרין, שאי אפשר לתת לאדם חילוני להכריע בשאלות כאלו קשות, ודאי זה חלק מעקבסת המשיכה, אבל אין לנו שום חלק בדיוסיהם ושלטוינם. ב-2000 שנה לא היה לנו צבא, ולא זה מה שלימד אותנו אין כאובינו, ונצח את איסוף זה רק בדורן, בתפילה, וגם במלחומה זה לא בטנקים ובמקלות, אלא ביחץ לעשות ההשתדלס ולצפות לעזרה של הקודש ברוך הוא. וגלינו ממקום למקום וידענו שאין שום כוח שיכול לנצל את כוחו של איסוף, רק הכל כל ינקיב, רק תשובו מהיסים טויבים ולא שום דבר אחר. כך זה היה עם הומון, כך זה היה עם פרוי, וכך המחריב המקדוש, וכך לכל אורך הגולס. אז כמובן, אם מגיע רוצח או גנב, אז ודאי צריך לקחת חברת שמירה, אבל לא להפוך את זה למשהו לאומי, משהו של איסגורס ואומס וכוח ובעצם יודי, ודאי לא להיכנס לסוף הכנפושס, שזה צריך סנהדרין, ואין לנו את הרשות לעשות את זה. גדול ישראל יצאו מאוד בחריפות נגד הארגונים האלו שמבצעים לחיילים ודומיהם, כי אנחנו צריכים לדעת יסוידה יסוידס, זה מעיקר אמונה, שמי שמגן על התורם, על כלל ישראל, זה רק בני התורם. ומי שאומר על בן תורם, לדידו קורו, לדידו תונו, הוא חשוב, הוא יושב ולומד, אני אתן לו אולי גם צדוקה. אבל למעשה, מי שמגן זה החיילים, והבן תורם לא תורם שום דבר לעולם, הוא אפוקרס גומו. ואין לו חלק לא אלו מבוא. כי רק הבני התורם הם אלו, ורק הם אלו שמגינים על כלל ישראל, ובהם צריך לתמוך.
So it's long. I'm going to try to remember all of it, but it's important. So I want to remember it. Rashiva started off by saying that there's seichel and regesh, and very often our instinct is to go with our emotion, with our regesh, and you can't negate that. Regesh is a real thing. So emotion is a real thing. People want to give. They want to help. They hear about Saras, and they hear about things that are happening, you definitely are emotionally engaged and you want to help. And that's definitely a good thing, to be emotionally engaged to something. Having said that, the Chazon Ish said that before you go ahead and do something, engage in a project, you have to ask all Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch if this is what the Torah wants you to do. This is what you're supposed to be doing. In other words, that's the Seichel. The Seichel is supposed to be going Al Pi HaTorah. And to check each and every stage and each and every step and each and every destination of what it's going, if that's going Al Pi HaTorah. Therefore, there might be a clash between the two, between what we're emotionally desirous to do, what our instinct tells us to do, to go and help out, and between what the Torah requires of us at that time. Rashida mentioned that already last year we discussed this topic of where we're supposed to be giving tzedakah and what the priorities are for giving tzedakah, and there's real rules and real hierarchies and real priorities in these halachas of where you're supposed to be giving tzedakah. So that has to be measured in a seichel, in a systematic, rational way, not in an emotional way, like, oh, I feel bad, this is a terrible story, let me help out. The Rashida said if someone would tell this some emotional story about soldiers getting hurt or killed or whatever, something along those lines, he would say, I really want to hear about it. Take my telephone number and we'll sit down and talk about it. He said they would never return the call because it's an emotional cry. It's not something that they actually would want to discuss in a rational, systematic fashion because it comes from an emotional place. And therefore, the clash between the emotion and the seichel in this regard has to be taken with the right perspective because the Torah might have something to say about it. What does the Torah have to say about it? So the Rashida said that when you decide you have something to give, something to help out, some money to support or some other cause, and you ask a Rav, you ask someone who's a Talmid Chacham, is this a proper cause? Is this something that I'm supposed to be giving to? Is this the correct destination of my funds? And it could be yes, it could be not. Obviously, the greatest and highest priority is always supporting Torah, supporting Talmid Chacham, because that's definitely what protects the world in the greatest way. The Rashiva added that as opposed to the helping the soldiers, which is one side of the equation, the other side of the equation, this threat of drafting the Bnei Torah, drafting the Bnei Yeshivas, is a real threat. It's something that everyone agrees about. All the Gedolei Yisrael agree that this is a terrible threat and a terrible gzeira. In the 1950s, the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav, when they were talking about drafting girls into the army, they said it's Yehari Gal Yavar, and the Meshiva says that this is Karev, this is close to Yehari Gal Yavar over here also, because the Ruchnius of anyone who goes to the army is very threatened. The Rashida said he personally knows who people who went to the army, and he said it's impossible to remain a true Haredi Jew in the army, and therefore it's likened to a Gzeiras Shvat, and therefore we should be very, very concerned about this. And that is the of utmost importance. He said that the questions of Dinei Nefashos, of going, when an army goes ahead and goes and does something, is something that once upon a time the Sanhedrin paskin. Sanhedrin used to paskin by Dinei Nefashos. And here, allowing a secular Jewish government to decide on Dinei Nefashos is something that generally the Sanhedrin is supposed to do themselves. And therefore, it's something that is very serious things, and it's who says it's in the right hands of people who are making those decisions. In general, there's a big difference between defending yourself, or Shiva said, if someone is stealing from you or trying to kill you, then obviously you defend yourself. And you can even have organized defense. But when it's about nationalism and a nationalistic it's nationalism. It's a nationalistic army, and it's all about sticking it to the nations of the world, and we're very strong and very powerful, and we can defeat them, and those are the motives and the motivation for some of the fighting and some of the decision making, then that's problematic. For 2,000 years in Golis, we survived without an army, because the only way to defeat Esav is a Kol Kol Yaakov, with tshuva and Ma'asim Tovim, with learning Torah, with supporting Torah. That's the way we defeat Esav, is the Kol Kol Yaakov, which I believe is this week's parsha. That's my edition. That's what always has defeated Esav. We learn from Yaakov Avinu how to wage war. Yaakov Avinu did three things: tefillah, davening to Hashem, and diron, bribery, and also even it says milchama. Well, what was milchama over there? His milchama was vayachatz, of doing a pragmatic hishtadlus, splitting up the camp, and going, the Rishiva equated that with going into gullahs from place to place, as we have done throughout our history. We did whatever needed to do, but we never fought back with an army. So therefore, the idea that we should for sure not to draft the Bnei Yeshivas, which he said is a tremendous sakana, but even supporting the soldiers, it should definitely be thought out, not coming from an emotional place, coming from a rational place, speaking to a Rav, speaking to a Tzaddik, and finding out where is the right thing to do, and obviously recognizing that the one who's the one who's running the show is the Rebbe Yishlach. The last point the Rashi added on to this was that at the end of the day, if someone gets up and says, you know what, Torah is a good thing. I like Torah. I like yeshivas. I like supporting Torah. And I can give some tzedakah to Torah. But they're not really, I mean, it's nice. It's nice to have a yeshiva. But they're not really protecting anyone. The ones who are really protecting is the army and the soldiers. So that's apikorsis. That's eilech eilech leilum hava. Because the only ones are really protecting are the lende Torah. And that's that. We have to firmly believe that's what's really happening.
If you do, you are perfect.
The next question is continuing the theme of the draft of the Bnei Yeshivas. We call it the drafting of the Bnei Yeshivas. That's what it's called. Gius Bnei HaYeshivas. That's how everyone refers to it. So, is there a difference actually between someone learning in yeshiva and someone not learning in yeshiva? Someone who's not learning in yeshiva, should he taka be drafted? Or is it... No, it's, we call it Gius Bnei HaYeshivas, but it's really much well beyond just the Bnei HaYeshiva themselves.
Ha'isur shel Gius kolel kol Yehudi ve'en musag shel Yehudi sug bet. ודאי זה גזיר השמד שכל ישראל מצווים על זה. אבל אין ספק שממד של בן תרא הוא הרבה יותר חשוב וחביב לאין ארוך מאשר מי שלא לומד. לכן מה שנוגע לקום ועשה בין חסרציך ושמד אסור למסור אף אחד מישראל ולא משנה המעמד שלו. זה ודאי שאסור לעשות מעשה בקום ועשה ואני לא חושב שמישהו עושה את זה. אבל בהלכת הצולה יש דין הקדימה, כמבואר בסוף אריאס, שתלמד חוכם קודם לאמורץ, והדבר הזה מסור לגדי לישראל במלחמתם, איך להילחם ובאיזו אופן.
So the gzeiras shmad of being drafted is really relevant to everyone. You can't say it's only for people who learn yeshiva, that it's sakana to their ruchnias, but anyone else, so they can go. It's okay for them. There's no such thing. It's obviously, if it's a sakana and ruchnias for one, then it's a sakana in ruchnis for all, anyone who goes. And therefore, it definitely is considered a sakana for all involved. And we don't say, there's halachas, so we're not allowed to give over people and say, okay, we'll make a deal. These people you'll save, and these people we can prioritize, we can triage and let the others go. It's obviously not something that we're allowed to do. However, there are in Hilchas Hatzalah, in other words, rescuing people, there are halachas of kedima. In other words, it all comes back to the halacha. What does the Torah say about it? What is the halacha? The halacha is when you're coming to rescue. There is a gius, there is a draft, and now we're trying to rescue people from that draft. So there is dine kedima, and definitely people who are levei Torah, bnei Torah, have a certain kedima. And we leave it up to people who know a lot of Torah, the gedolei Torah, to know how to make these type of decisions during a time of war, about who to rescue first and how to go about doing that, and we'll rely on them to make the right decisions in this regard. The next one, also on a similar topic, is someone submitted this question that had a relative recently who had heart surgery, and the cardiologist was a secular Jew, despite the fact that he was a secular Jew, not a religious Jew. They felt the need to thank the cardiologist. He also was getting paid. It was his job. But they still thanked him. They were very grateful. The Jewish midah of Akara Satayim. We express our gratitude. We express our thanks. Because we felt that's just what you do when someone saves your life. So at the end of the day, the soldiers are out there being Meser Nefesh and saving lives. So we want to thank them. So how do we go about expressing thanks to the soldiers who are saving our lives?
Venius Naiti, וככה קיבלנו בעצם מרביסינו מרושי ורב חיים, שוודאי יש חיוב שהכור עשה טוב לכל מי שמטיב לנו, ולא משנה אם הוא שם יותר או מיצוץ, לרופא ודאי שצריך להכיר טובה, כי ידוע מה יעשה מרב אליושיב, שהוא למד בדיוק, איך אומרים thank you באנגלית, כדי להודות לרופא. וגם לחיילים שהם חושבים שהם מצילים, ולא משנה בשליחות מי הם הולכים, ואם זה באמת טובה רצופה, ואם יש בזה גם טעויות וסכנות, אבל מצידו הוא הולך במסירות נפש, הוא עוזב משפחה והוא רוצה לעשות לנו טוב. אסור להקוות את הרגש של הקורס הטויב, אפילו לדוימם, ולא רק לדוימם, אפילו מי שעושה לנו רע, כתוב בתורה, לא יססה במצרי כי הוכיחו. אבל הקורס הטויב האמיתי זה בדבר נצחי, ולא דווקא בפרחים ובאוכל, אלא בעיקר בתפילה להתפלל עליהם שיחזרו בתשובה, ושלא יצא שום מכשל מתחס יודום. והעיקר זה שהקדוש ברוך הוא בעצמו יגן עלינו על ידי בני התורה. ידוע הסיפור של רב שך, הוא היה מאושפז בבית חולים, והיה אחות שהיא מאוד מאוד עזרה לו, אז הוא עמד ושכנע אותה רבע שעה כשלא כדאי לה לעשן. הרווח שלו היה שהיא לא תעשן בשבס, וזה הקורס הטוב האמיתי.
She said that that Karsa Tai, this is from the Shiva Chaim Shmulevitz, Karsa Tai is for anyone. Anytime you have a regish of a Karsa Tai, someone did something for you, you definitely owe them a Karsa Tai. So in the case of the doctor, obviously, you've saved your life, you thank them, there's an expression of a Karsa Tai. The soldiers too. Soldiers too, doesn't matter what the reality is, and the objective reality that we said that the ones who are protecting are the B'nai Torah and Hashem, obviously. But they think they are going out there, and they are. They're leaving their families. They're going out. It doesn't matter who's sending them. It doesn't matter the motives of the ones who are sending them. The soldier as a yachid, the ones in the field, they are going out and being meiser nefesh, and therefore, they definitely deserve our thanks as well. So there's no question about it. He said also Rabbi Yashiv wanted to thank his doctor. He learned how to say thank you in English just to be able to thank his doctor. So obviously, you deserve our thanks. So how do you? Then the Rashi went to explain, how do you express thanks? You say, okay, I'll send them flowers, I can send them food, I can send them something that shows the thanks. It says, that's a very superficial thanks. The real way to thank them is to do something for real for them, in the real world. So daven for them that they should do tshuva. Daven for them that there shouldn't be anything, any michshel, anything that should come out from them. Anything negative should come out from them. Daven that nothing bad should come out from them. Daven for them to do tshuva. I heard a beautiful story of Rav Shach when he was in the hospital. He wanted to thank the nurse who was not religious. And the way that he thought of thanking her was convincing her not to smoke anymore. So he had in mind that if she wouldn't smoke anymore, then she's doing less Chilul Shabbos. So he's doing something for her. And that was the best way to express thanks. The best way to express thanks is to try to do something for their ruchnis, to daven for their ruchnis. The next question we have is, now we're going back to our daily lives. We got past the... When we're kaveh yitim l'tayra, every one of us is kaveh yitim l'tayra every day. We don't have unlimited time, unfortunately, to learning Torah, to do every subject and every sefer and every topic that we could possibly want. So how do we divide the time that we're doing with the Torah? When we're learning, we could do Ian, we could do Bikias, we could learn Halacha, we could learn Musar, we could learn something else. How do we prioritize? What should we focus on when we're learning?
כל אחד צריך ללמוד את עצמו כפי הכוח שלו, כפי החשק שלו בתורה. לבעל הבתים יש מחייב נפלא שלומדים דף יומי כל יום, זה דבר מאוד חשוב, כי יש בזה מחייב של קביעות. לומדים יום יום ולא מפסיקים אף פעם, אבל חשוב להדגיש, כי בלי חזור לא זוכרים כמעט כלום. אז מישהו ברוכה, אז אין כמו לימוד בעיון, שזה מחבר את האדם לתורה, ואז הוא זוכר מה שהוא לומד. וכמובן צריך קו חומטין, קצת מוסר, לא צריך להתעסק עם זה כל היום, אבל כמה דקות ביום ללמוד ביספיילס, זה שומר על כל מה שמשקיעים במשך הזמן. וכמובן בגויין, באבן שלם או פרק חס, שמי שירוסוי קודמס לחוכמוסוי, הוא מייגע בזה, זה רם יעלי, ואז הוא זוכר את הלימוד. ומי אין ירוסוי קודמס, אז הוא יכול ללמוד הרבה פעמים, אבל לא זוכר כלום, משום שזה לא רם יעלי. וכך אמר החזון איש, השולחן ערוך הכי טוב, המוסר הכי טוב זה השולחן ערוך.
So everyone in their learning has to see themselves, to understand what how much time do you have, how much cheshek do you have, what do you have a cheshek in, and therefore it's a very subjective thing according to each individual. Having said that, There's the best one of the best machayevs out there that Balakim have is learning Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi means it's every day. You can't miss a day. You're learning every day. You're very often part of some sort of framework that learns it, and that's wonderful. The downside of Daf Yomi is that when you don't chazer, you don't review it, so then you very often forget it. So we have to do everything we can to also review it. Another way to go about it, and this again depends on the person, is to try to learn Be'iyun every day. If you learn in depth, then number one, you're connecting yourself closer to Torah by learning it Be'iyun, and also it's easier to remember. Because you went in depth on the topic, it's easier to remember. In addition, the Rashid advises everyone to do, is to have a few minutes of Musar every day. You obviously can't learn Musar all day, and you shouldn't learn Musar all day, but a few minutes every day is very, very important. Even be spyless, the Rashiva said, to focus on one Nakuda and to review it a few times, to learn Musar every day, because that brings Yiras Shamayim. And he quoted the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon says that if a person's Yiras Shamayim is Kedemus L'Chach Masai, then his Torah will remain with him, because then his Yiras Shamayim is that he understands what the Torah is. He understands what he's about and what his life is about, and how important the Torah is in his life, and he'll definitely remember it more, and it'll be more important to him. Whereas if he neglects his Yiras Shamayim, in other words, he neglects learning Musar, then the Torah is not going to remain by him, because the connection is further away, because his Yiras Shamayim is lacking. So definitely Musar should be a component of our daily learning. Last thing the Rashi said was from the Chazon Ish, that the greatest Musar Sefer is learning Halacha. The Shulchan Aruch itself is the greatest Musar, is the guide to our lives. Next question is, in general, and the Rashi touched on it now, in a lot of these conventions and these gatherings and chinuch gatherings, and our meeting today with Rashiva is a perfect example of this. The Rashiva, and any time a Rav speaks like this, relevant to questions that people are asking, so very often the answers are very general. And each one of us is an individual. So how do we know when it's, you know, it's such a general thing, listen to whatever the general rule is, and how do we know that I'm as an individual, I know myself, this is something personal for me, I shouldn't just listen to a public speech about this, I should go to my Rebbe, who knows me, and knows what's going on in my life, and ask him advice about what's relevant for me. So how do you know when it's the public general rule, and how do I know when it's supposed to go with the individual Rebbe approach?
זו שאלה כללית, וקשה לענות ליחידים בתוך הכלל, אבל חשוב מאוד להיות בקשר עם רב מובהק שמכיר אותך, אבל ודאי אם הרב מובהק עונה באופן כללי, זה דעס תורה.
So from the laughs, I think everyone understands the Hebrews. The Rishiva said it's a general question, so how could we answer for individuals? But obviously the general rules are giving a guide about the kivun, an approach. And if it's your Rebbe who's speaking also, then that's he's giving you your approach. And then you have to also have a good connection, a relationship with a Rebbe, and be able to feel comfortable. Think, okay, I'm going to know what to do just by going to public gatherings and never feel comfortable opening up to our Rebbe. It's also not good. So you have to really, really know when it's important for you and have that open line of communication with your Rebbe to be able to ask him advice about your life too. And our way to Hashem. So the next question we have is, Can I ask it? Reb Nachum has a question? Reb Nachum has a question. Where do you get a Rebbe? Where do you get a Rebbe from?
A good question, but... צריך שהרב הדוי מלמלך השם צבוקס.
I think that's it, doesn't need translation. The next question we have is, one of the most important mitzvahs we have is to love Hashem. And all of us are parents, we want to be mechanech our children. How do you go about educating our children to love Hashem?
הרמב"ם ביסוד התורה פרק ב' הלכה ב' אומר מפורש, ואיך הדרך לעבוד סבי רוסוי, שאדם מתבונן בפיל הבריא ורואה את מייסו הנפלויים, מיד הוא אויב ומשבח ומפואר ומסב את צו הגדול על ידי השם הגודל, החינוך מביא חזל אחר שצריך לסבונן בתורה, אבל שניהם זה אמס. כשאדם מתבונן בגדלוס התורה, כשאדם מתבונן בנפלויס הבריאה, אפשר לספר לילדים קצת מהשלוח הפרוטס, מהניסים שהקדוש ברוך הוא עושה לנו. בשנה האחרונה אנחנו ראינו ניסים גלויים שאין לשער יום, 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 יום. אז צריך לספר כמה פלויים הקדוש ברוך הוא מנהל אותנו, כמה פלויים יש בגוף, ומפלה לסריס, ולספר לילדים על אבא סתיר ויר השומיים.
So the Rambam says how each one of us is supposed to come to Abbas Hashem, and that's through being mesbayin in the Bria, looking around at what Hashem created, the world and all its wonders, and that's the way to realize, wow, who stands behind all this, the one who created this wondrous world and all its praktim and all its details and everything about it, then you come to be filled with a love of Hashem. The Chinuch says that you come through it through realizing the godless of Torah, the Torah that Hashem gave us, and the godless of that Torah, and the depth and everything about the Torah, the components of the Torah, that brings us the Nisim from the Torah itself comes to the Nisim in our Torah, to the one who gave the Torah, which is to love the one who gave it to us and to love Hashem. So you take those two together, and those two don't contradict. You have both components, the Hisbayinus in the Bria and Hisbayinus in the Torah, and you take them both together and you share that with your children. You talk to them about it, and you share with them, look at this world we live in, look at the Nefloyes HaBriya, look at the amazing thing about the human body, and about the world, and about the godless, and about the Torah itself. And you share with them on a regular basis, about your Shemayim, and about Torah, and the kids will start to love Hashem through you sharing simply talking to them about these topics will instill in them a love of Hashem. The next question we have is, we know that there's a big mitzvah of achdus, of loving every Jew, of every type of Jew, no matter if he looks like us, looks different than us. So on one hand, we have the mitzvah of achdus and loving everyone, even if they're different. On the other hand, we know that in order for us to keep strong in our way of life, in our value system, in our education, we need to be separate. We can't be just intermingled with everyone around us in the world. So how do you balance that? How do you balance the need to love every Jew, no matter who they are and what type, with the need to be separate and to not be together with everyone else?
רואים אצל אברהם אבינו, שהוא לא רצה לתת לישמעאל ירושה, כי הוא אמר, אני סוינוי שיוצא לתר בצחור. מצד שני כתוב, אס יחידך אשר אהבתו, אס שניהם אני אוהב. זאת אומרת, גם שצריך לסנוע ראשה, לא צריך לסנוע אותו אישית, ודאי לא צריך להתעסק עם הרב, ולא לדבר לשנורא, שזה מידע שלילית. אבל צריך להשריש לילדים, שאצלנו לא נוהגים ככה. זה לא הדרך שלנו, אצלנו לא מדברים ככה, וצריכים לרחם על כל מי שנתרחק מהדרך, הוא לא יודע את הדרך, אבל צריך לחדד ברור איזה חברים לקרב, ואיזה לא להתקרב, כי זה לא מתאים לנו, וצריך מאוד מאוד לחדד את זה. אנחנו צריכים לשמור על המסורת שקיבלנו מאביסינו.
You see by Avraham Avinu that on one hand, when Yishmael was Yetzi Latar Busra, he went off the derech, so Avraham Avinu said, I hate him. He went off. On the other hand, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu by the Akedah, Tzibincha Asher Ahavta, and he says, I love them both. So he loved him where he hated him. So Rashida said, it said that you love him. You love him, but you don't like his way. You don't like his derech. You don't hate him personally. So that's the balance. The balance is that you love them all as people, but you stay away from their way, their approach. So you can love them, you can daven for them, for those who are distant from Yiddishkeit. You can love them, you can want them to come back, but you need to make it clear to the children. Rashi also added that we also don't speak about it. We don't say, oh, there's a fashtuk and a guy, or that's it's just saying Lashon Hara, it's a bad midah. It shouldn't become a topic that we speak about other people in a negative way. We teach our kids, this is not our way. We do things differently. To focus on how we do things, less so on what's bad about the other things. And those lines have to be very clear. Those shouldn't be porous lines. They should be very clear. This is our way. This is our values. This is our derech. This is what we have. And we have the Messiah. We have the traditions of our ancestors that we continue. And it should be very, very clear who we are as an identity, without pushing out as an objective love for everyone else. The next question, also from a participant that was submitted, he has a child in Yeshiva Ketana or Masifta or high school, however you refer to it in your community, and in the afternoon they have general studies, secular studies, for a few hours. And his son loves learning Torah. And he heard that in Eretz Yisrael, the Yeshiva Ketanas do not have secular studies in the afternoon. So he said, if everyone in Eretz Yisrael can do it that way, why can't I do it that way? I want to learn in the afternoons too. That's what this guy's son was telling him. So we want to ask the Yeshiva, should the father say, oh, Gavaldik, I have a son who wants to be a Talmud Chacham, wants to be like B'nai Eretz Yisrael, who wants to learn Torah all day, let me encourage him to learn and not go to any of the classes. Is that what we should do? Or should the father say, your job is to follow the curriculum of this school. Right now you're in this yeshiva, and the yeshiva has secular studies in the afternoon. You follow the rules, you go to class, you do what the rules say. So which one is the right one to do?
באופן כללי לא טוב לצאת מהמסגרת, צריך להיות ממושמע לישיבה ולכללים. אבל יש מושג בהלכת המטרה שאמר בנזה עם הועסה שנפשי חושק בטרו, והוא פטור מפה והוא מכמה תנועים. ברמם כתוב שאין ביד האובן הזה. לכן במקרה חריג יש להתייעץ עם אודם גודל. אני יכול לספר כשאני הייתי בחדר, כמעט ולא למדתי לימודי חויל, האבא זצל לקח אותי ללמוד עם רבה לחזור על הלימוד, ולפעמים זה היה הרבה של לימודי קודש, ואני חושב שלא היה חסר לי לא בחשבון ולא בדקדוק, אני יודע לקרוא בתורה ולחשבן סוגיות, אני חושב לא פחות מילדים אחרים, ובפרט שהיום לומדים הרבה דברים שמיותרים לחיים.
So she said the general rule is that you have a framework, you have a curriculum, you go with it. You stick with it, that's the general rule. That's the right thing to do. However, there is a concept in Chazal from Ben Azai, Mo'ez Benafshi Chashko Batayr. There are times, there are people like Ben Azai who say, I just want to learn Torah. The Rambam says that he never did anything wrong by not marrying. He didn't do an Aveira, because usually you have to get married. It's a mitzvah. And Azai didn't do an Aveira by not getting married because he was Nafshi Chashko Batayr. So it's important to know that there are, to every rule there's exceptions to the rule. And Rashi gave an example from his own life. That when he was in Cheder, his father, the Rashi Zatzal, he had him in the afternoons have him be tutored to chazer the learning from the morning. He didn't go to the classes of the secular studies in Cheder. Instead, he went and got tutored sometimes from his Rebbe from the morning. They chazered what they learned in the morning, sometimes by someone else. And the Rishu said on himself, he doesn't think he's missing anything in math or other subjects. He knows it pretty well, even without having missed those classes in Cheder at that time. So you can always figure it out along the way. He said, especially today in many schools, a lot of the subjects are not that relevant. They're teaching a lot of subjects that aren't that relevant. So how much are you going to miss out by missing these subjects? So besides for the general rule we said in the beginning, there's these exceptions to the rule as well. We have another question here. Recent elections in the United States. What is our Tyredic approach to these elections? Are we supposed to be very happy and excited because the ones who seem to be more supportive of the United States Jewish community and of the State of Israel were voted in, and we're very concerned that a party that would be not as supportive to the Jews in the United States and not as supportive to Israel would have been voted in. Now we should celebrate because the good guys won. Is that the right way to approach it? Or do we say, what's the difference? Leiv Melech and Biyad Hashem. Hashem controls the world. He controls governments. So we should be completely neutral about the elections and who won. Who cares?
מה שנוגע להוי ולקום בעסק, גדול לישראל הכריעו שצריך לבחור בעדו, כי יש אצלו הרבה אהדה לישראל, מנגד בצד השני היה הרבה סינס ישראל חס ושלום. אבל במבט לעתיד, מבחינת ההשקופה, אנחנו לא בוטחים בכלל בנדיבים, בניסים, רק על הקדוש ברוך הוא לבדוי. ואי אפשר לדעת, ברגע אחד אנשים יכולים להשתנות, ואומנם הוא לא צפוי בכלל, אבל דבר אחד הוא כן צפוי, שהוא עתיד להשתנות. אז אין לנו להישען אלא על אבינו שבשמיים.
So Rishina said a very wise distinction between the present and the future. Regarding the present, it seemed very clear that on one side you have someone who's very supportive of Jews and Israel, and on the other side it's very anti-Semitic, Sinas Yisrael, which would have been a terrible thing to happen. So Gedolei Yisrael advised us that we definitely would rather and vote for the one that is supportive. We definitely want that to happen, and that, therefore that's a good thing. That happened. That's all regarding the present. Regarding the future is very unknown and very unpredictable. Rashid emphasized how he specifically is unpredictable. The only thing predictable about him is that he's unpredictable. So therefore, you can't really rely, oh, we got him in office, I don't have to worry about anything anymore. I don't have to worry about, the next 4 years are okay, I don't have to daven, I don't have to betachen, because the United States government's on our side, that's all good. At the end of the day, nothing's predictable except for our tefillahs and our relying on Hashem, which is the only thing that we really can be sure about. How do we, in general, have a very materialism is a very big part of our lives, and the keeping up with the Joneses and social pressure from our neighbors and friends and communities, sometimes even family members, sometimes. The second to last question. Materialism is very hard to keep up with the pressures. So how do we, you know, sometimes it's ourselves who we see everyone around us is buying the nicer car and the nicer redoing their house and nicer vacation, and sometimes it's our wife and kids. Our kids come back. All my friends have this. Wives see the neighbors have it. How do we withstand that pressure from what's around us in this materialistic lifestyle?
העולם הזה שייך לאיסוף, העולם הבא ליאנקיף. אי אפשר בשום אופן ליהנות משתי העולם התוי אחד. אפילו רבי שזכה לשתי שולחונס, הוא העיד בעצמו שלא נהנה כעץ בקטן בעולם הזה. הגויים כותב שכל הנועס שנהנה בעולם הזה יהופכו לו לקבר במורו. לכן אין מה לקנות במי שממיר עולם נצחי חולף בעולם שכל כולו אכזבה וטייבה בלי סיפוק, ורחמונס על אלו שכל העולם שלהם זה הנועס הלימה זה בלבד. בעיקר זה לדעת ולהעריך ולהיקר כל דבר רוחני, כמו לימדי תורה, שומרי שבת וכל דבר רוחני, ולבזות כל דבר של ערך של עולם הזה. כאמר הרב שטיינמן, מה הם חושבים העשירים? הם אוכלים זהב? הם אוכלים 10 פעמים ביום? הוא אמר לעצמו שהוא הכי עשיר שיש בעולם, לא חסר לו כלום, כי יש לו סיפוק. וכמעט כל העשירים בעולם אין סיפוק ואושר.
So the Olam Haza belongs to Esav and Olam Haba belongs to Yaakov, and you can't get both. It's either Olam Haza or Olam Haba. And therefore, there's no reason to get, it's just something that we have to implant in us, that there's no reason to keep up with that. To just run after Gashmias and run after materialism, which is never going to make us happy, and never going to reach the end of the race, it's something that doesn't belong to us. We're here for spiritual purposes, and we have that in mind, that we're here for a spiritual reason. And the pleasures that we seek should not be materialistic pleasures, they should be in spiritual pleasures. And Limudat Torah, in Lomdei Torah, in Shabbos, Kodesh, and any other spiritual pleasures that you have. That's where pleasure should be, not in any materialistic pleasures. It won't last, it's not going to get us anywhere, and it's not why we're in this world. Rashi said about Rav Steinman, Rav Steinman would say about wealthy individuals, he would say, what do they get from their wealth? Do they eat gold? Do they eat 10 times a day? All of us don't get to eat that many times a day. What do they get out of it? the Rishim Sefer Rav Shimon said that he believes that he's the richest person in the world because he's very happy with what he has and he's completely satisfied with all his belongings and possessions. Whereas the wealthy people that he knows, they don't have enough satisfaction from there. So he's richer than them because he has satisfaction and he's happy and they're not. So if you don't get satisfaction out of it, then that's not true wealth. Last question, very short. Oh, that's it. Okay.